You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. Today is Monday, April 30th, 2018, and this is episode 461. Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going great. It's a beautiful day in Indiana.
It is. Finally beautiful weather here. And, yeah, it's amazing how much that just changes everything. Hopefully it's nice weather wherever listeners are at as well. We've got a lot to talk about. NFL draft over the weekend. Handful of Notre Dame players selected in the draft, and then some that weren't selected were signed with some teams as well. We found out Nick Watkins will be transferring from the program, and there's some recruiting news as well. So let's just start with the biggest bit of news, the NFL draft. Two Notre Dame offensive linemen picked in the first round, or picked in the top 10, I mean. I think we all expected the first round, but I didn't expect top 10, for both of them to go in the top 10. Nelson going first, or first of the two, at number 6, and then McClinchy, number 9. As a Colts fan, I'm super excited that Nelson is going to be with Andrew Luck and down in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I was very, very excited. I didn't think it would happen. I figured he'd be gone by the time the Colts got to pick.
I figured the Colts would do something dumb like drafting a flashy player like a Barkley.
No, they have a new GM.
Well, but I'm excited about this. They've got the quarterback, working on that offensive line, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, and that was supposedly one of the three places that he wanted to play at, so I guess that worked out for him. But it's great to see him go, especially go to the Colts. But go to that high. He's now the highest guard picked in the NFL draft in the last 33 years. So very impressive that at that position, I mean, obviously he's a very good player, but that position just doesn't normally get picked that high.
Nope.
But Nelson was, and he's going to make a lot of money. So.
And then Jerm Smythe was picked in the fourth round, 123rd overall, went to the Dolphins. And then St. Brown, sixth round, 207 overall. Smythe, I guess I'm a little bit surprised he went that high. Good for him. I'm sure he'll...
He's got... I talked about Nelson. I'll quick tell you what they're going to make. Nelson's contract is supposed to be just over $23 million and is with a signing bonus of $15 million. Then McClinchy is at $18 million with a signing bonus of $11 million. And Jerm Smythe is at $3 million with a signing bonus of $639,000. And then EQ is at $2.5 million with a $118,000 signing bonus.
And these are kind of estimates about typically where...
These are projected. Yeah.
So if St. Brown would have stayed another year, been picked, you know, maybe in the third round or even the fourth round... Could have picked up a little more change. Maybe it would have been worth it.
Yeah, well, even from... Look at Nelson and McClinchy. Nelson's making close to 40, and McClinchy's at 30.
Yeah.
There's about $10 million difference there, just in a couple picks. So
It definitely evens out more after those...
Yeah, you know, those first five.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with McClinchy, he went higher than I expected him to. I mean, I was kind of expecting...
Well, I think he went higher than everyone, but it was more based off need that the 49ers had.
Yeah, and I did listen to an interview with their GM, and they decided a week ago that they were going to, if McClinchy was available, they were going to take him. So they knew for a week that was their number one pick. That's who they wanted. So very good for McClinchy. The 49ers did release their right tackle, or traded their right tackle, which means that opens it up for McClinchy to maybe play a right tackle. Quentin Nelson had an interesting tweet about McClinchy. He just tweeted out and said, San Fran got a hard-bodied, hairy-chested, rootin', tootin', shootin', parachutin', demolition, double cap, crimpin' frogman. There ain't nothing he can't do. So interesting tweet from Nelson. But yeah, it impressive to see. There were some stats. I think that's the highest that two offensive linemen from the same team have gone in the top 10 like that, just different things. But this will even help Notre Dame as far as recruiting, which it doesn't seem like they have much of a problem with offensive line. But it will help out even more. I mean, their left tackle has been drafted in the first round for... Brian Kelly's... Every left tackle Brian Kelly's had has been drafted in the first round. So, something to show to recruits, which I'm sure they're seeing that. And then, with Durham Smythe, he's the guy that Brian Kelly, the coaches need to tell other people, like, look what he did for himself. Because a year ago, he probably wouldn't have got drafted.
No.
He came back for his final year and got drafted in the fourth round. So that's what they got to preach to these guys, because look what happened to EQ. I think he's one guy that should have come back.
Oh, I definitely think EQ should have come back. And Durham Smythe, do you think he's a better NFL prospect or than Ben Koyak? I mean, Ben Koyak is still in the NFL, I mean, unless he got cut in the offseason, but he was in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but Durham Smythe, I think, improved in style even with his workout since the season ended. He played in the Senior Bowl. He did very well there. And he just does so many things well. I mean, he can block. He can catch. I mean, he does a lot of things. And so maybe he's not going to be the best pass catcher. He's not going to be the best blocker, but he can do a lot of things. He will have quite a bit of competition there in Miami, because the Dolphins also drafted Penn State's tight end. So they drafted two tight ends, and Penn State's tight end was actually in the second round. So Smythe was their second tight end that they took, and I believe they have a couple other tight ends there as well. So he's gonna have to work to get playing time or to stay on the team. Then EQ, there's some interesting stuff about him with his dad. They said there's reports that actually affected his draft stock, which to me, we talked about it before, we didn't think that he was one of the best receivers in the draft.
No.
We agreed on that.
And I talked about it in the forums. I mean, he has an NFL body, but he does not have an...
He got drafted for his potential.
Yeah, he does not have an NFL attitude. He did not show an NFL attitude or want to this past season.
He's not aggressive enough.
No.
So that's why I think he should have come back. I fully think he should have come back. But some things, some reports coming out, one NFL scout said that he has some quirks that I think come from the dad. He refused to play special teams. He doesn't stretch. He might end up butting heads a little bit with the weight coach. Not disrespectful, but you're getting the dad. So that was one report. And yeah, there's just some other stuff that's come out about that. Which we did an interview with his dad on the podcast, and he clearly knows what he's doing. He was Mr. Universe, whatever. He had a problem with how Brian Kelly's coaching staff. He would try to take credit for them switching the staff and things like that. And he has a totally different philosophy as far as weightlifting and even your diet than what most people have. And if he's, I don't know.
Yeah,
some people are comparing him to the Lonzo Ball.
No, that's what I was going to tell you. He's no Lonzo. He's no Ball.
He's not even
close.
But the NFL is a little bit different than the NBA. The NBA, it's you don't have as many guys to pick from, so this could affect.
Yeah, but I would say that would even make it a bigger, like the NBA is so, it was more individualized. So I would think.
I'm saying as far as drafting the son, I think NFL teams don't want to deal with. They don't have to deal with it like they do in the NBA.
Yeah, but
they're still going to draft Lonzo Ball's kids because they're good at basketball.
But in the NBA, also it's more individualized that you will get more of the dad involved if the dad is a big figure.
Yeah, but I think this could have actually hurt him. Because there's no reason. The NFL, we see it with different scenarios, different players. They don't have to deal with it as much as what NBA did because there's so many more players to choose from. But I think he ended up in about the best spot he could have. I mean,
well, he's got a great quarterback.
You got Aaron Rodgers, and you know they got rid of some wide receivers in the offseason. And then you have DeShone Kizer, who would likely be the backup. So he's already got a connection with Kizer. His best season, Mm-hmm. Some of his best games were with Kizer as quarterback. So I think it's perfect for him and Kizer. They'll probably be they'll be practicing a lot together because they're not going to be out there on day one starting either one of them. And so it's a good situation for EQ in my mind. But
so I was surprised that Adams wasn't drafted. He did sign with the Eagles. Let me just read off the players who were not drafted but were signed. Morgan and Trimbetti signed with the Bears, and then Adams with the Eagles. Adams, I didn't think he was one of the best running backs going into it. I mean, I thought clearly Barkley and the two running backs from Georgia are better backs. However, I was still surprised that he didn't get drafted.
I know. There was 20 running backs drafted, and he was not one of them. I would have included him in the 20. But at the same time, you start looking after you see what happened and start looking at it. You know, he didn't run the 40 at the combine because he was hurt again. And so his history of injuries, I think, hurt him. He couldn't even work out at the combine. I mean, he couldn't even do some of those things because of another injury. And that's got to hurt you.
Well, if you...
Especially as a running back.
Did you listen to Colin Cowherd few days? He was in the draft room with the Chargers.
Okay.
And he was going off about how much they know about a player's health and the history, like blood work. I mean, he said health was a way bigger factor than he ever realized.
Well, it makes sense.
And Josh Adams has a history of...
Did he talk about Josh Adams?
No, he didn't talk about Josh. I don't know if he'll talk about any player in particular. He was just talking in general. The teams do a lot of work looking at health history.
Well, I think that had a lot to do with it. And I don't know if they even thought... But look at CJ Procise, too. I mean, he got drafted high, but he hasn't done much because of injuries there. Yeah. He had injuries in college. And one thing that I also think hurt Josh Adams is because when he was hurt, it wasn't the same. You see a guy like Bryce Love limping off the field, and he comes in on the next play and breaks off a 20-yard run. Josh Adams was shut down,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. I mean, it wasn't completely shut down, but he wasn't the same at the end. And he obviously, when he's hurt, he's not. It impacts him a lot. He's got a chance with the Eagles. I mean, this guy's work cut out. If he can stay healthy, I think he can do something. But I think health was a huge issue there. I don't think he should have come back at Notre Dame.
No.
I don't. He wouldn't have gained anything by coming back except more miles and more injuries.
Notre Dame played three running backs that did end up going in the NFL draft. The two from Georgia, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, and then also, there was four, because Ronald Jones as well, North Carolina State's running back, Nyheim Hines, something like that.
Something else was interesting, so you had the offensive line go, and then North Carolina State had four defensive linemen drafted, and Notre Dame ran for 300 yards on them. So if you want to think that Notre Dame didn't do well against good teams, they ran for 300 yards against four NFL draftees.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of other opponents or players that were drafted from Notre Dame's opponents. Two guys that weren't from two other guys, John Montelus, did not get drafted, but he signed with the Lions. He'd been at Virginia for his fifth year. And then Malik Zaire did not get drafted. And as far as I know, he still hasn't signed with any team. So I know he was all excited about that, but man, I'm not sure where he goes from here or if he's going to try to pursue that. I mean, a lot of times guys at least get into camp, but this is Monday and I still haven't heard of any camp that he's been signed to.
Do you think he would try a different league like Canadian or something else?
He seems like a guy that loves football and wants to prove something. I could see him try something else, Canadian or the other league that... I don't know what it's all involved. I think Johnny Manziel was playing, and then there's some other players, former NFL or college, that have been playing. There's some new league. So I don't know. I could see him try something like that.
Okay. I don't have anything more from the draft. Did you hit everything you wanted to hit?
I just thought of one other guy, Devin Butler. I forgot to check. I mean, he didn't get drafted. but I don't think he signed with anyone either.
I
just thought of that right now. But oh, the other thing I was going to throw in there, it's kind of weird. So Josh Adams signs with the Eagles. The Eagles drafted a guy that played Australian rugby. He's never played American football, and they drafted him. So
potential.
Yeah. But I would say if you end up with a team, I mean, well, at least in a good situation with the Eagles, it's better to beat a team like that, I think, where you can kind of practice, work out, than to try to. If you go to the Browns, who just suck, you don't have much chance. You're going to suck as well. So.
Real quickly, I guess, not Notre Dame related, but your thoughts on the Browns' two draft picks. Obviously, number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield. And then the fourth overall pick, cornerback Denzel Ward from Ohio State. And again, Colin Cowherd just mentioned that, and I'm a fan. I know he got a lot of hate the last year for ripping on Notre Dame, but I think he's right a lot of the time. But he just made the comment that he's talked to several GMs, and they didn't have Baker Mayfield or Denzel Ward as their number one offensive or number one defensive player. And of course, that's who the Browns end up picking. Going against conventional wisdom, personally, I think,
which they've been doing for
a century. I don't think anything's going to change. Baker Mayfield, I think he is overrated. I don't think he's going to be nearly as good as.
It's the same. It's just funny to me because you see people that are Brown fans like, oh yeah, he's, well, some Brown fans aren't impressed, but then you hear people say, oh well, he's a different. This is going to be different. We've heard that with every quarterback that they've drafted, and. In my mind, I think it was a horrible idea. I found that if I were the Browns GM, you bring in a veteran quarterback. Try to get somebody like Alex Smith or somebody that's kind of that has experience and draft players around him. You can't do it with a rookie quarterback.
Well, okay,
they are not going to turn my prediction. They are not going to turn this around with a rookie quarterback.
And I'm probably biased here, but I really think that I think that DeShone Kizer would be a better NFL quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Now, I think Sam Darnold is going to be really good, better than Kizer, and probably even Josh Rosen. I don't know, but Baker Mayfield, I don't think so.
No, they, and here's the thing: they tried offensive linemen. They had Joe Thomas there for how many years? Drafted with Brady Quinn. Hall of Famer, one of the best linemen career. I mean, he was amazing, and that didn't help. But they got to get other players. They got to get away from the quarterback and build another team around him. They just did the same thing they've been doing, and they're going to have the same problems again.
All right. Moving on then, Nick Watkins decided to transfer from the program. He sent out either a tweet or an Instagram post talking about how he accomplished what he wanted to do at Notre Dame, which was to get a degree from this prestigious university. But let's be serious. I mean, if he'd be going forward being the starter and have that locked down, he'd be with the program. I mean, this is about him setting himself up for the NFL.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him for leaving, because if you want to get set up for the NFL, then you need to prove you're at least the best cornerback on your team. And that wasn't the direction that the Notre Dame cornerback group was headed.
Yeah, I mean, I think he got passed up last fall. And with the quality cornerbacks that Notre Dame has, he wasn't the starter. And I think, I hate to see him go because of the depth. I love to have experienced depth, but this is what you're going to get. The depth that Notre Dame is creating at all their positions. So,
but I mean, he graduated from Notre Dame. I don't think there's any bad blood. Like, maybe there was a little. There was some bad blood with Zaire.
Yeah,
I mean, clearly. But I don't think there's any hard feelings with this. I mean, he wants to play football.
Yeah,
he wants to play in the NFL. And he contributed. I mean, it was injuries that kind of took him out. And I'm glad he stuck it out this spring to see if he could, solidify himself as the other number one corner or the other starting cornerback. but it just didn't happen.
Yeah. And we do have to point it out, he's a friend of the podcast. We had him on the podcast as a recruit. Mm-hmm. So what's crazy is that we're talking about these guys, they're graduating, and it doesn't seem that long ago that they were recruits. And, yeah, I mean, another guy that you think about is Blake Barnett. We were just talking about him. Blake Barnett, if you remember or if you chose to forget his name, had been committed to Notre Dame for how long, ended up decommitting and going to Alabama. And that's how Notre Dame got Brandon Wimbush. So, anyways, Blake Barnett is transferring again. He had decommitted, which that was before he signed, went to Alabama, transferred from there to Arizona State, and now he's transferring from there, but he's transferring as a graduate transfer. So he did graduate, but he has 2 years of eligibility left. So I'm not sure where he's going, but he's on the move again, and it looks like Notre Dame dodged a bullet on that one.
Are you sure Notre Dame shouldn't try to get him back?
Get him in as a graduate transfer to compete against Wimbush. Wouldn't that be quite the storyline there?
All right. Is there any more news with recruiting? That's been a hot subject over the last few weeks. Notre Dame has picked up several commitments.
Yeah, well, we mentioned last week that at the time we recorded the podcast, they had 3 days straight with a commitment each day. Well, that continued last Monday after we recorded the podcast. They had another commitment from Andrew Krzysztofik, and he is an offensive tackle. 6'6", 265, and he actually goes to school with Phil Dracovic, and they play basketball together. So he's ranked as a 3-star, but Notre Dame wanted him, and you kind of look at his size. He's tall. He's 6'6", but he plays basketball, so he can move, which is a good sign for a tackle. And I also remember talking to Phil Dracovic. It was actually before he committed to Notre Dame, but he had said that the basketball coach didn't want him to bulk up, so he actually wasn't allowed to lift during the basketball season, which was why he was so skinny at the time. And I'm sure that's the same case with Krzysztofik. So if you start thinking that he's doesn't have enough weight or whatever, I mean, he's not allowed to lift during basketball season. If they still, I mean, that had been their coach, that basketball coach's philosophy. But here's a guy that worked with your future quarterback, and I think he's a great addition to the class. And then, and Jeff Quinn's still doing his thing, signing offensive linemen, so continues to impress on the recruiting trail. And then on day 5, Notre Dame got another commitment from Kyle Hamilton, safety, 6'3". So Notre Dame's getting away from Nico Fertitta there and going 6'3", 188, from Georgia. And he's currently listed as a 3-star, but a lot of people seem to think that he's very underrated. So Notre Dame went 5 days straight with a commitment each day. So things suddenly turned around for Notre Dame. And they're also trending with some other guys that have their commitments coming up tomorrow. Quinn Carroll, offensive lineman, is planning to announce his decision. And it looks like he's going to pick Notre Dame, but we'll have to wait and see for sure till tomorrow. Then another, you got Nana Asofa Mensah. He's coming up. His commitment's coming up, and I think it's May 19th is what he had said. So you got some guys coming up with Notre Dame in their final to make that decision. So things quickly turn around for Notre Dame's recruiting. So. But that's kind of where the recruiting... Oh, I'll just mention it. With the Kyle Hamilton, the safety committing, Terry Joseph tweeted out, which he'd done it for the other safety committed. He tweeted out, hashtag Yahtzee. That's his name. Brian Kelly has the hashtag WeRND. Terry Joseph goes with hashtag Yahtzee. So if you're following it on Twitter, if you see that tweet, you know that Terry Joseph just got another commitment from a safety. So.
Very good. All right, I don't have anything more. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, sounds good. We did have an update to the form software, so if you're over there and decide to check it out, let me know if you see any bugs or notice anything different. You can send a direct message. either on the forums or on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk, and definitely join the conversation over there. And we'll be ramping up late this summer as we head into fall camp, get more going on over there. And of course, we'll keep on doing the weekly podcast. We will be back Monday to continue talking about Notre Dame football. I'm guessing we'll probably have some more updates as far as recruiting, and there always seems to be a little bit of news coming up.
And with that news, something to watch, Notre Dame is still at 87 scholarships, so that means something needs to happen with two more players before the season starts, so there's still time. But there will probably be another transfer or medical scholarship, something like that, because they still need to drop two players. So, you know, it's Notre Dame news, so there'll be some excitement.
All right, thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.